بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, last night we had commenced with the second juz, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the change of qibla, which had taken place approximately 1.5 years after the hijrah, the migration of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from Makkah to Medina. While Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in Makkah Mukarrama, as we know, the qibla at that time was Baytul Maqdis, Al-Masjidul Aqsa. This was the qibla of salah, and every salah would be performed in the direction of Al-Masjidul Aqsa. However, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would always have this desire within his heart that the qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which was Baytullah, the Kaaba, this should become the qibla of my ummah. And therefore, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would read salah in Makkah Mukarrama, then he would stand in such a way that he would face Al-Masjidul Aqsa while having the Kaaba in front of him. So if Masjidul Aqsa was in a certain direction, he would stand on the opposite side of the Kaaba, and effectively he would be facing the Kaaba as well as Al-Masjidul Aqsa. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then migrated and moved to Madinah Munawwara, of course because of the location of Madinah Munawwara, now Al-Masjidul Aqsa was in the opposite direction and the Kaaba was in the total opposite direction. So he was unable to face both at the same time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that oh my Nabi, certainly we have seen your face turning towards the sky. This referring to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Madinah Munawwara would constantly look towards the sky, anticipating that wahi should come down, Jibreel alayhi salam should come, and he should then bring revelation that the qibla has changed. So Allah says, we have seen this, that you keep on looking at the sky in anticipation of wahi. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, so we will now cause you to face that qibla which you are happy with. فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, Allah then now brings down this verse, that now turn your face, turn your attention towards Al-Masjidul Haram, Makkah Mukarrama. This will now be the qibla of Islam, the qibla of your ummah. So this was in the opening verses of the second juz. After this had taken place, which as we mentioned was approximately 16 to 17 months after the hijrah, 1.5 years after the hijrah, after this had taken place, the mushrikeen and the Jews began to mock at the Muslims, that you people can't even settle on one qibla. First you're facing Al-Masjidul Aqsa, now you want to face Baytullah. So this is a sign that your deen is upon falsehood, and there is no truth to it, and your Nabi is just doing as he pleases. So of course this was very difficult upon the Muslimin. Many of them felt aggrieved at this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in the opening verse of the second quarter, Allah now explains that it is not about which direction you face, rather it is about abiding by the command of Allah. Whether you face Baytul Maqdis or you face Baytullah, regardless of what Allah's command is, but piety is that you abide by Allah's command, whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense to you or not, even if it is something completely opposite to what you were doing before. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, Allah says, piety has got nothing to do with you turning to the east or the west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, but the pious person is that person who believes in Allah and the last day. He believes in the malaika. He believes in the scriptures of Allah, when Nabiyyin, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, and various other attributes and characteristics of a true mu'min are thereafter mentioned. But the lesson for us is that true piety, true taqwa, true birr, this word birr, righteousness, is that a person submits to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very same word birr is used when we speak about obedience to parents. When a person is a dutiful child to his parents, the Arabic term is birrul walidain. This word birr, so again from here we understand that obedience to one's parents, whether we understand the command they have given to us or not, but my father asked me to do something, of course it must not be against the command of Allah, whether I understand it or not, I will abide by his command. My mother asked me to do something for her, whether I understand it or not, whether she asked me to do something opposite yesterday, today she's given a different command. But true obedience and submission is that I submit to their command regardless of whether I understand it or not. So this was in the opening portion of the second quarter. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Islamic penal code, the judicial system of Islam, And one particular mas'ala that is mentioned here is with regard to retribution after a murder has taken place. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O people of iman, kutiba alaykumul qisasu fil qatla. Allah says that retribution has been legislated for you regarding those who have been murdered. And quite simply, what does this mean? Is that if there is a premeditated, intentional murder of somebody, then the family of the deceased will have the right to take the life of the qatil, of the killer, of the murderer. And this is justice. This is fairness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hurru bil-hur, a free person's life will be taken in lieu of killing a free person. Wal-abdu bil-abd, a slave's life will be taken in lieu of a slave. Wal-untha bil-untha, a female's life will be taken in lieu of a female. And then Allah mentions that the family of the deceased have an option. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. If the murderer is forgiven, the family of the deceased, be it his son or his brother or his father, chooses to forgive the murderer, now Allah addresses the murderer. What should you do? فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Then make sure you follow up this gesture of theirs in a good way. In other words, try and recompensate them. Try and give them something. They spared your life. They had the right to take your life. وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Go now with kindness, with goodness, and hand over some sum of money to them. So at least they do not feel that their family member's life has gone for nothing. So this is the ruling of qisas, of retribution. But the lesson that we take from here, my dear brothers, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhu, has mentioned that if we look throughout history, and even if we look currently in the world right now, we will not find any judicial system as fair and just as the system of Sharia and Islam. And he then writes and he quotes Shah Waliullah Rahimahullah, who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only fixed punishments for 7 crimes. If we look throughout Quran and Sunnah, there are only 7 crimes for which capital punishment has been legislated. One is mentioned in this verse, murder. Then we have theft, banditry, consumption of alcohol, zina, fornication, slandering a chaste person, and the act of irtidad, of leaving one's deen. These 7 actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed the punishment, be it in this case that the person's life will be taken. In the case of fornication, a married person fornicates, then there also his life will be taken. If the person was unmarried, he will be given 100 lashes. And likewise, these punishments are fixed and recorded in the books of fiqh. Apart from these 7, every other transgression, every other crime, Allah has left it to the decision of the judge of the time. And in this we find there is great justice and fairness. And he then goes on to say that the reason for this is we find in today's time. As an example, a person was guilty of a certain, or 2 people were guilty of committing a certain crime. One person had absolutely no excuse. He came from a wealthy background. He had all the means at his disposal. He was enjoying many bounties of Allah in this world. There was no need for him to commit this crime, but he went ahead and he did it. And on the other hand, the second person, he was in a dire condition. He perhaps hadn't eaten for days. He was on the brink of starvation, and conditions were not very easy for him. And he then goes and commits the very same crime. According to the system of the West and any other judicial system in this world, both will get the same punishment. The person who was excused and the person who was not excused. This is the crime, this is the punishment that is fixed. A person is speeding on the highway and the police officer pulls him over, he'll bring out that file of his. That this was the speed, you were doing so many kilometers above the speed limit, and this is the recorded fine for you. Whether you had a reason, you needed to go to the toilet, your wife was giving birth in the back seat, or whatever it was, you're rushing for some janaza, and there's somebody else who's going for a joyride, and he also exceeded the speed limit, the punishment is exactly the same. But in Sharia, Allah has left it to the decision of the judge, that you will now gauge the crime that was committed, the severity, the person who committed the crime, what was his reason behind it, is he excused in any way, and you can then give a harsh punishment or a light punishment. So in this, we find great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and great ease for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about dua. And the background behind this particular verse, it is mentioned one person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, is our Allah close that we must whisper to him? Or is Allah very far away from us and we must scream, and then he will hear us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before he could reply to this person, this verse was then revealed. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my slaves ask you regarding me, then tell them, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close by to them. In other words, there is no need to raise your voice, to scream and make dua. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I will respond to the caller of any caller as soon as he calls out to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, so tell them they should ask from me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, they should believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. Under this verse, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, one of the great mufassirin of Islam, has mentioned two narrations, and I'd like to just share these two narrations with you very quickly. The first appears in Musnad Ahmad. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَبْسُطَ الْعَبْدُ إِلَيْهِ يَدَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person stretches out his hands to him, يَسْأَلُهُ فِيهِمَا خَيْرًا, and this person asks Allah for goodness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَيَسْتَحِي, Allah feels ashamed, Allah feels shy, يَرُدَّهُمَا خَائِبَتَيْن, to send this person back without fulfilling his desires and his wishes. A person raises his hands, he's asking Allah for goodness, then Allah feels ashamed. How can I let him go without giving him something? Like how Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would give the example of the beggar in Haramain Sharifain. How the person will hold on to your kurta and he won't leave you. He'll ask for something in the name of Allah, please give me something. And even if you say no to him, he still walks along with you. And sometimes he walks for quite a distance with you, pulling at your kurta, pulling at your scarf or your shawl, and asking, because he has conviction that you have something, you will give it to him. Likewise, we learn the lesson from here, that we should have that conviction, that I will not leave the door of Allah until Allah fulfills my dua, answers my dua. Definitely Allah will respond to us, and Allah will answer our dua. And then the next narration Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, because many a times a person will say, I made dua, I asked Allah, but I didn't see any results. So he brings the next narration. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when a person makes dua to Allah, as long as there is no sinful aspect in his dua, and he is not making dua for the breaking of family ties, these two words have been mentioned, ithmun and qati'atu rahim. He is not making dua of anything sinful, and he is not making dua for the breaking of family ties, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one of three outcomes. Either an yu'ajjila lahu da'watahu, Allah immediately answers his call and gives him what he wants. He asked for something, Allah gave it to him. How a person is rushing, he's in the airport, and he's making dua. Ya Allah, please let me get there, the boarding gate must still be open. And he turns the corner, he sees the gate is open. Allah answered his dua. So whatever he asked for, Allah gave it to him immediately. Or the second possibility, يَدَّخِرَهَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, Allah answers his dua, but he does not see the result immediately. Allah stores it for him in the hereafter. You asked for something. Now when you are truly in need in the hereafter, I will now show you the result of this dua. And the third possibility, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, يَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ مِنَ السُّوءِ مِثْلَهَا, his dua does not get answered. Or rather, what he is asking for is not given to him. Nothing is stored for him in the hereafter. But there was some calamity that was going to befall him, and because of his dua, Allah uses this to ward off the calamity. So he is asking for something, he doesn't see any results in front of him. There's nothing for him on the day of Qiyamah also. But perhaps he was about to meet into an accident. He was going to fall ill. Something was going to happen. Some harm was going to come to him, his business, his family. But because of his dua, Allah now averts that harm and that calamity from him. Either way, the person scores. Either way, he wins. Some goodness comes to him, some benefit comes to him. So now we have the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us ample time to make dua. And many times have been mentioned, the time of Sehri, a person wakes up, try and spare some time to raise our hands, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time of Iftari. Generally these are times where we are concerned with our food, especially the women folk at home. Iftari time, they're busy preparing their savories or whatever it is. Husband will come home from the masjid, food needs to be ready. Allah give us the hearts also that we make things easy for our women folk at home. That even if there's some delay, no problem. But rather you take some time out and make dua. And for us also in the masjid, our food is there. We'll have enough time to eat, alhamdulillah. But at least we take advantage of these moments, raise our hands, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. definitely, as per this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to us and answer our du'as. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.